Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome back to News and Views. As the nation honors the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., the North Carolina NAACP is working to bring a greater awareness to the face of poverty in our state. News and Views producer Clayton Hinkle talked with state NAACP President Reverend William Barber about the Truth and Hope Tour, which continues this coming week in northeastern North Carolina.
Reverend Barber, the NAACP, the Justice Center, UNC Center on Poverty, they're starting the new year talking about your Truth and Hope Tour. Tell our listeners a little bit about what you're trying to showcase this year by this tour.
Yeah, and we're going to also add the Center for Civic Engagement, Social Change at NCCU. The Truth and Hope Tour and putting a face on poverty is just what it says. We got to tell the truth about poverty. We got to put a face on the statistics. We got to talk about poverty not just as something that happened in 2008 or 2009, but a systemic problem, systemic and structural poverty that you have to analyze from the perspective of race, from the perspective of the lack of infrastructure, from the fact of a lack of educational opportunity, from the perspective of the lack of industry, strategic industry development in poverty-stricken communities. And we've got to lift that up if we're going to be serious about lifting North Carolina. And the stats are staggering. Over 500,000 children in poverty. Some communities, one out of every two person in poverty. African Americans, one out of every four person in poverty. North Carolina, one out of every five. 1.6 million people in poverty. And those are just those in poverty based on the federal numbers, not based on true poverty figure, which looks at people who are in hardship because they can't even make a living wage.
Most of our listeners are probably very aware that the unemployment rate in North Carolina is hovering around 10%. But you're talking about much more than that. You're talking about underemployment. You're talking about a lack of health care.
Yeah, and when we set a goal, say, to get it to 7, but that's still 7%. And 7% of what? A million. And then it's maybe for North Carolinians, 10, and there are pockets that have not seen any change. The poverty rate in North Carolina has not substantially changed since the 1960s. That's systemic. That's structural. That's a form of what we call the attention violence, when we decide we can just write 5% or 7% of the folk off. We don't discuss it in our public. We let people run for office. They talk about the wealthy, the middle class. Never talk about poverty and extreme poverty and what we're going to do to address it.
Is that something that concerns you, that here it is, 2012, it is an election year, and that's probably going to be one of the main focuses this year, but there is this, as you say, a silent depression. We talk about wealthy, we talk about how the middle class is affected, but there is really a lack of discussion about those who are living in deep poverty.
Yeah, and it's as old, as I said today, as the scriptures. It's as old as the struggle of this community. One professor said by the mid-1800s, you could basically determine someone's economic future by their birth, whether they were born in wealth or not born in wealth. And it's a moral crisis because our Constitution says we should be focused on the good of the whole. Well, you can't write off 5% of your population or 10% of your population and say you're working for the good of the whole. You know, the crisis got big when Wall Street started imploding. Middle class folks started hurting. Before then, you had 40, 50 million people in poverty, 100 million people in hardship, 100 million people, 50 to 100 million people without health insurance. But there were no big, big outcries. It was almost like the outcry was on the fringe. And most of our even political candidates or economic leaders weren't really talking about the issue. It became an economic crisis when it was an economic crisis for Wall Street. Well, what about those who are in economic crisis day in and day out, night after night, having to make decisions whether to buy food or to buy medicine? And we can do better than that. But we've got to be targeted and focused. We got to engage in what I call long-term, necessary, righteous work. And I don't believe it's going to happen until we put a face on it, until we hear the voices, until we say we're not going to have any more political elections, any more board meetings, and the face and the voice of the poverty is not poor or not center stage.
You talk about a number of the folks who are living in poverty not being able to come to Jones Street or the General Assembly, but you're also giving voice to people who live in parts of the state that media don't often visit. Talk a little bit about the face of poverty, people who are living in northeastern North Carolina, where there hasn't been a lot of economic development or a lot of opportunity.
Yeah, and black or white or Latino or Native American, you barely get the media down there. You have some, but if you do an examination, you know, the Center for Civic Engagement and Social Change is going to do an analysis. And part of that analysis is going to look at the lack of discourse, whether in the media or in the political arena, of the issue of poverty. It's not even talked about. It's not even dealt with. And so a part of us is to take people there. You know, we talk about Occupy Wall Street or Occupy Raleigh. These folks can't come and occupy anywhere because they're trying to simply occupy their reality. And they're simply trying to make it day in and day out. You know, even before we see some of the more recent moves, we were saying this to North Carolina in 2006 with the historic 1,000 on Jones Street People Assembly Coalition. It was 400,000 in poverty when we had our first rally of thousands of people on Raleigh in 2007. And we laid out an agenda for how to address poverty. And we haven't seen, you know, our political leaders or otherwise really embrace that. But what's happening now? As Otto Swammer says, who's an economist out of MIT, the blind spot of conscience is so dangerous in our economic policy because you cannot continue to have this many people in poverty, this many people hurting, and they be underneath making up the foundation of your economy and think at some point the foundation not going to crack and the whole piece is not going to implode.
After the listening tour, what comes next? Obviously, it's important for us to understand who is affected, how they're affected, and hear their ideas for solutions, but what else is there?
After the tour, we're going to be pushing coming together, political, economics, activists, people affected, and developing a real serious plan. As I said, maybe if we see the faces and hear the voices, we can have a real Marshall Plan for Eastern North Carolina. Maybe we can talk about targeted investment, using the green economy, using technology to really get at this issue of entrenched poverty. Maybe we can say no longer can you run for office in this state and not talk seriously about how we're going to transform the realities of hardship and poverty.
And final question, we're going to have presidential candidates mm-hmm. who are coming to North Carolina this year. We're going to be hearing a lot from Governor Perdue and mm-hmm. her challenger, mm-hmm. former Charlotte Mayor Pat McCrory. Mm-hmm. What is your challenge for them as they're running for office?
To run for office committed to the moral framework of our Constitution. Whether if you're president, is equal justice for all. It is this call for the common good. You can't have a good society without caring about the general welfare and the common good. Those are ideas we've got to lift up and dust off. And that doesn't mean just the wealthy, just the middle class. And in our state, the good of the whole. That everything we do politically, economically, otherwise, has to look at the good of the whole and not just the whims of a few. So I'm calling on leaders who put their hand on the Bible and swear to uphold the Constitution to really be clear and serious about what that Constitution means. And if you get elected, you're not elected to work for the whims of the few. You're elected to work for the good of the whole. But not only just elected leaders, even in the private sector, it is good for business to lift up those who are the poor. Because I come from a faith tradition that says if we abound in much and others have lack, one day we're going to have to answer for that. We really are. And so in a real sense, we are brothers and sisters keeper. We've got to do better. We can do better. We have the capacity to do better. We can take on this issue of systemic and structural poverty, and we can transform it if we have the will and if we see the people. Not as statistics, but as a part of that whole that we must work on behalf of.
That's it for another edition of News and Views. Look for us on the web at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Henkel, this is Chris Fitzsimon. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon, director of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com. News and Views, a weekly look at state and policy issues, is a production of the North Carolina Justice Center.